The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus left that place and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And then his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to give the children's food, to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Jesus then answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All right, kids, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and bring your book bags up front. We have these wonderful tags that Miss Angie will actually deliver to you. On one side, it says, "You are loved." And on the other side, there's an identification for the book bag that you have. And we're going to bless your backpacks at this time. And I need your help. So I need you to practice this one little line, okay? And when I point to the place on the screen, I need you to go ahead and say that line. The line is, "Jesus is with me." So it's right there. Jesus is with me. So I'm going to say a few words, and then I'm going to point to the line, and then you are going to say it, all right? Very good. Let us begin. When it's the night before going to school, and I'm picking out my clothes and making sure I have all my school supplies, Jesus is with me. When I'm waking up and eating a healthy breakfast to start the day, Jesus is with me. When I'm getting on the school bus or being driven to school, Jesus is with me. When I meet my teachers and new friends in class or online, Jesus is with me. When I'm playing with my friends at recess or at my home, Jesus is with me. When I'm finding the right school bus to ride home or looking for my parents, Jesus is with me. When I am telling my family about my day, Jesus is with me. When I'm praying at night and thanking God for my family, my friends, and my school, Jesus is with me. Good job. Let us pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for always being by my side. I know that if I get nervous or afraid, you will be there with me. When I see the tag on my backpack, I will remember that you are always with me. I know that I can talk with you anytime, day or night. And for that, I am so thankful. I pray this in your name. Amen. Now, as the congregation supports our youth, let us join in prayer together. O holy God, the time has come when school begins. As these, your children, begin their studies, we ask a blessing on their computers and laptops and on their backpacks in which they carry the books and notes and notebooks, markers and pens and pencils they will use to learn. O God of life and love, hear our prayer. Bless, O God, all who will teach our children in the coming days and weeks and months. Give them the wisdom and a sense of humor to find inspiration for each child. Give them the energy and creativity and love that will make their work a blessing to our children. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. Bless, O God, all school administrators, that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to their care. Give them wisdom when it comes to the coronavirus and provide them with the resources to keep everyone safe. Make them fair and merciful, able to do their crucial work with a spirit of grace and compassion. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. Bless, O God, each one gathered in their homes, that we will seek every opportunity to grow in our knowledge and love of you. In our church class, in our church school classes, all our classes for youth and student and adult learners. Grant that we may see you more clearly, love you more deeply, follow you more nearly. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. And bless, O God, these are cherished children, those who we have promised to love and nurture at their baptism. Keep them safe, keep them excited, keep them ever seeking to learn more to develop their gifts. Grant that their study, they may gain the tools to grow in love and faith and service all their days. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. Bless, O God, these backpacks and the children who carry them. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. Amen. Thank you, children. That was awesome. Thank you all. I appreciate you being here. May the grace and mercy of God, our Creator, and our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always. Amen. What would Jesus do? WWJD. You know, many of us have heard that expression. If not, we've probably had a bracelet, or maybe we still have that bracelet with those initials on it, WWJD. And though we cannot always remember to do as Jesus did or does, we try to. Yet in our brokenness, it's often difficult, if not impossible, for us to do exactly what Jesus does or did. And this might be an instance, though, where WWJD stands for, wait, what'd Jesus do? This time, we have to think about what Jesus did. Just as we look to Jesus as an example of God's love in the world, we read this challenging story. Let's go through it again. Jesus is in a different place, a place of the Gentiles, and he's confronted by a woman in need. First, this Canaanite woman is denied by Jesus' silence. Second, the disciples try to usher her out, get rid of her, send her away. She keeps shouting after us. Third, Jesus says his mission is to come for only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And fourth, Jesus insults her by comparing her to a dog. Basically, there are two ways to interpret this passage. Jesus is somehow testing the Canaanite woman or the disciples, or Jesus forgot to wear his own WWJD bracelet as a reminder of what he's there to do. Each of these explanations are less than pleasing. On one hand, you have a Jesus that is not as inclusive as we believe God's love should be. Or we have a God, through Jesus, who wishes to test or put us through the ringer, as my grandma used to say, to see if we measure up. And not wishing to believe the former, I started to defend Jesus by thinking, maybe this isn't a test for the woman, but one for the disciples, one more hoop they needed to jump through to achieve their higher understanding. Yet right before this passage, Jesus has offended the Pharisees in a debate of ritual hand washing and what defiles oneself. Jesus points out there is a difference between being sinful and unclean. One can be unclean and not sin. Yet more importantly, he states earlier in chapter 15, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth and enters the stomach, or whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile, unless you are in a pandemic. But even then, it's more of a health issue. Okay, I added that last part. With this in mind, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. Maybe Jesus is setting up that hoop for the disciples because he talks with the Canaanite woman. As he talks with the Canaanite woman, it sure sounds as if he's defiling himself through false witness and slander. So if he were testing the disciples, their response should be nothing less than ushering this woman and pleading to Jesus to help her by curing her sick daughter. Yet the opposite happens. They wish to send her away. If this was a test for them, at this point you would think Jesus would be giving the disciples that holy smackdown by at least giving them one of those, are you still without understanding lines? And Jesus goes further in his response with an exclusive and insulting language. As we try to make sense of this language, some scholars have softened Jesus' response by saying the Greek word used for dog in the statement is better translated into little dog or puppy. Yet it doesn't change the fact this woman is still the victim of prejudice, name calling. Or maybe there's another interpretation. Can Jesus learn? Now, before you call the heretical police and they show up and try to take me away, hear me out. Jesus is totally focused on his mission to save the Jewish people from persecution. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus gives a Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger. And this is the good news to the people of Israel. Jesus knows he will be eventually hung on a cross for the lives of his followers, the Israelites. So he is so focused on this mission, he has tunnel vision. And it's a good thing he does for all of us. But what the Holy Spirit is doing through the Canaanite woman, this strong woman of differing tradition and ethnic background, this woman with undaunting, fierce love for her daughter, this mama bear, you know the devotion of a good woman for her child. The Holy is working through this woman to broaden the scope of Jesus' mission and the understanding of God's all-inclusive mission. I know you think I'm tap dancing on the tightrope of heresy, but God also gives us minds to process and think about what is being brought to us in Scripture. You might be thinking, hold up, preacher man, Jesus is divine, and in his divinity we cannot possibly think about God or Jesus as not all-knowing, omnipotent, or omnipresent. Yes, yet, we see in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 through 18, after God flooded the earth, God changed God's mind, or at least learned from that experience by promising Noah and his sons and all future generations God would never do that again, and placed a rainbow in the sky, not to remind us, but to remind himself, God's self. We see that Abraham was able to negotiate with God from 50 good people to 10 good people found in Sodom in order to save the city in Genesis 18. Let's not forget about Jacob and his wrestling match with an angel in which later Jacob was told, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, "Tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." We know that there's things that only God knows. In Matthew 24, we will soon read verse 36, "But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The point we see in our scripture today is that Jesus, intentionally or not, drew a racial difference between one child of God and another. Yet the Holy works through the woman to expand the clarity and focus of the mission of God, which includes all of God's children and all of creation. During my internship at Lord of Life Lutheran Church in Columbus, Ohio, we worked on a capital campaign. When meeting with a financial advisor, they asked us what the capital campaign would be for: a new roof, new windows, a remodeling project. The church told them it would be to pay down or to pay off their mortgage. The advisor snickered a bit and said, people will not give to a capital campaign unless they see what their funds are going to do for others, because they want to be part of that expansion, the new educational wing, or the remodeling of the sanctuary, something tangible. But my supervisor, the head pastor there, said, "We are in agreement that as we are called to do God's work, we can be more effective in that work if our funds are going to the needs of the community instead of paying interest on our mortgage." The advisor said, "Well, you'll need to communicate in great fashion where those funds will go and who will they affect when the mortgage is paid off. That way the congregation will feel better about helping and making sacrificial gifts." Once again, the head pastor replied, "We know this campaign will take 12 to 18 months to complete, and a lot can happen in that time. So we have some ideas of where we want that money to go, but we have no idea in that amount of time where God might be leading us." The advisor was shaking his head in disagreement. "So what are you going to call this campaign? It better be good to focus that congregation on your goals." My supervisor said, "Dream bigger." The advisor's eyes were as big as the coffee cups setting before him. The pastor went on to say, "We want the congregation to dream bigger. Bigger than they ever have before. We get caught up in what is humanly possible and forget all things are possible through God. We need to constantly dream bigger." Jesus heard the Holy speak through this marginalized woman. God dreams bigger. God's love is more than we can ever imagine. The Holy caught Jesus in his tunnel vision and expanded God's love to all creation instead of limiting it to those lost sheep of Israel. Who is it in our world that keeps shouting after us? The ones the Holy might be using to communicate that there is more. There's more than enough of God's love to go around. And God can do more than we can possibly imagine. We do not belong to a God of scarcity. Rather, we belong to a God of abundance. A God who gives us the universe not to hoard and to be fearful over, but a God who invites us to share the gifts we have been given. A God who gives us strength to wrestle with God and creation until we get an answer to the difficult questions. A God who knows and shows us mercy, love, and justice in all the aspects of life. This woman represents all those we hear today who simply want society to recognize the promise God has made to everyone: to be seen, to be heard, to be acknowledged as an equal, to be known as who they are, a called child of God. This includes all races, all mask wearers, all non-mask wearers, all political parties, even the libertarians. It means all means all. And it's our work as Christians to listen, to hear the holy through the people shouting after us. What would Jesus do? Jesus sees his short-sightedness, forgives himself, and then looks upon the great faith of this strong woman and learns God's mission is not only for the lost sheep or only for a certain group. God's love cannot be contained for only a selected few. God's grace and mercy and peace is meant to be had by all people, all of God's children. Amen.